This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
As you may recall, we are in a series entitled The Body of Christ. We've been in 1 Corinthians, we've been in John 17, we've been in Exodus 34, and now we're about to go into Psalm 103 in particular. But we will use Exodus 34 as a springboard into that particular psalm, reminding ourselves of that time where Moses stood in the mountain of God, hidden in the cleft of the rock, those things that are so wonderful for us to understand. It's like a person inquiring of the great God, ensconced in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And this is the person who had had a very difficult night before, a very difficult set of circumstances had come upon him, and among his people there had been much rebellion. In his own heart there had been a flaring of anger, and maybe a few decisions that might not exactly square with the way of the Lord. But whatever the case might be, it was a very difficult night. And so he found himself ascending again to the mountain of God and crying out to the Lord, God, show me your glory. And the Bible says that the name of the Lord began to pass before the eyes of Moses. God showed him a certain vision. His hand was over Moses' face, if you will. So Moses was only able to see a portion of this great glory because Moses was an old covenant man, just having a glimpse into the new covenant realities that we enjoy on a regular basis. But one thing we do know for certain is that Moses was in need of a revelation of the goodness of God. And so God began to pass before him and to proclaim the name of the Lord. And God said to him, the Lord God, gracious and merciful. As we read last week, we heard God proclaimed his name. God cried out the name of the Lord. And he said that God is merciful. God is gracious. That God is long suffering. That God is patient, in other words. And that God is super abundant. Abundant in goodness and in truth. For instance, the Bible will say to us at a certain point where sin abounds, grace superabounds, or grace that much more abounds. And so Moses, having gone through a day probably that none of us will ever experience on that level of letdown, of disappointment, the things that he saw among the camp of Israel and so on, he came to a place where even though sin abounded in such a vast array, there was an army, if you will, of God's gracious dealings that was ready to strive against that particular army. That's what he saw that day. He heard God pass before him. And as God began to pass before him, he began to cry out his name. He said, as we heard last week, I am God. I am merciful and I am gracious. I am long suffering. In other words, I can put up with your nonsense a whole lot longer than you might expect. The Lord is long-suffering, and he is superabundant in his goodness and in his truth. I'm glad that he's abundant in his truth as well, because he ain't afraid to sit us down and tell us how silly we can get. You know, he's both good and he's true. He ain't gonna lie to you. He ain't gonna lie to me. He ain't gonna say, for instance, everything is all right when everything ain't all right. But he will say, even though everything ain't all right, I am still your God. And so he begins to pass before this man in all of his abundant mercies, in all of his goodness and all of his truth. And I thought to myself, what would be a good way to look at these ideas that are beginning to pass before this man? What can we say, for instance, about the mercy of God? What can we say, for instance, about the grace of God? What can we say? We can have a line of testimonies, one right after the other, about the patience of God. What can we say about the abundant goodness of God and about the truth of God, about the trustworthiness of God, about the truthfulness of God, about the fact that God is Himself the way and the truth and the life? We could go into so many different directions, but I thought that there was at least one particular psalm that seemed to bring everything together. And that's why I would love for you to turn with me, if you please, to the book of Psalms, the 103rd Psalm. And we'll spend a certain amount of days in this particular psalm. It's a wonderful, wonderful statement about the abundant mercies of our holy God. And it speaks about Him in such wonderful detail. It speaks about His goodness in such wonderful detail that I believe it merits at least a few weeks of consideration. So I would like for you at least to consider with me tonight the first and the second verse of that particular psalm. The first and second verses of Psalm 103. Very familiar portion of Scripture. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of His benefits. Consider with me this wonderful work of grace. As we just open up the psalm, we hear this extraordinary invitation. You and I sometimes think that we work up our own heart when we try to convince it to praise the Lord. And while that is true to some degree, we do have to make a decision to bless the Lord. It begins with the initiative and with the invitation of God. You see, my brothers and sisters, when you and I consider the grace of God, I would suggest that the chief expression of the grace of God in the Christian life is the capacity to bless the Lord. As we read in the book of John in the 17th chapter, when Jesus Christ was going to the cross, He gave His reason for going to the cross, that they might have eternal life. And then He gave the definition of eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. I want to suggest to you tonight that the chief expression of the grace of God is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary, and the chief method or the chief meaning or the chief expression of this particular act on Calvary, this blessed act on Calvary, is the blessing of God. When Jesus died on Calvary, He Himself was blessing the Lord. It is the means and method by which Jesus Christ brought salvation to all humanity. He obeyed God to the letter, and every day of His life was given to the blessing of the Lord. It is the means by which He saved our soul. When He prayed at Gethsemane and He said, three times over, if this cup can pass from me, if I could save the people in any other way, for instance, then let me do it that way. But He hears the Father saying, there is no other way to glorify God. There is no other way to bless the Lord. And so He, by means of the grace of God working in Him, the Holy Spirit moving Him, according to what the Bible says, He laid His life down by the Holy Spirit. According to this, He did what God had planned long before any any of us were in existence, that God would be glorified in him and that he would die for the sins of humankind, and he would give human persons who at a certain stage in history, and each one of us at a certain stage in our life, human persons who would curse God or who would turn their face from God or who would fail to acknowledge God would now have the wonderful, the awesome privilege of expressing a praise toward God, of bowing our hearts toward God, of inclining our desires toward God. I want to suggest to you, my brother and sister, the clearest evidence that you and I are in the grace of God is the fact that we have the desire and we have the capacity to bless the name of the Lord. We have been given a wonderful privilege, my brother and my sister. The Bible says that no person who is filled with the Holy Spirit can curse the Lord, and certainly no person who is not filled with the Holy Spirit has the capacity to bless the Lord. Oh, they might be able to use particular verbiage, and they might be able to make phonetic sounds and say, bless the Lord, but to bless the Lord is not only something that we do, but it is also something that God receives. You see, when you and I begin to praise his holy name, when we begin to sing songs the way we sang them tonight, when we begin to lift up our hands to God, when we begin to say, God, you are my Father and I thank you, when we begin to lift up our prayers to him and say, there is no other hope but you, there is no other recourse but you, there is no other resource but you, when we begin to put all of our hope and trust in him, it does something to his heart. It begins to bless the Lord. You see, blessing the Lord is not simply something that I say. It's not simply something that I feel. It's not simply something that I do. It is something that actually affects the heart of God. It is something that brings a smile to the Lord. He says to his own soul, bless the Lord. A wonderful thing I want you to take into consideration, because maybe as he was climbing that mountain, he might have looked at his life and looked at some of the circumstances of his particular day, probably thinking to himself, what difference does it make now if I come up to this mountain? Or probably thinking to himself, well, maybe I'll just kind of dredge, you know, I'll just kind of, you know, walk on up to this mountain, and maybe if I get to the mountain, maybe God might bless me. Or maybe if I finally make it to the mountain, I might be able to sing some of the songs of Zion. And maybe that might help me out psychologically. Maybe it might help me out emotionally. Maybe it might be able to lift off some burden that's upon me. It might be like he was on his way to church and he had to go straight from a full week of work and had to get on a crowded train and had to come to church and so and sit and wait for the service to begin. And throughout the process is saying, well, maybe once the song begin, and maybe once the people begin to praise and sing, and maybe once I can shake off the busyness of the day, I can begin to praise the Lord, and who knows what kind of burden might be lifted, or maybe I'll find myself going to church so that I can begin to pray about some issue or some difficulty, forgetting sometimes that because of the grace of God working in us, that we have been given a specific privilege to not simply come and praise God so that it might have some medicinal effect in our own life, but that when we as people who are under the grace of God begin to praise the Lord, that it actually blesses the name of the Lord himself. It actually blesses Jesus. It actually makes a difference in him. It actually makes him happy. You see, sometimes we ask ourselves, why am I even bothering to come out on a Friday night? I can just get the tape. I can just get the DVD or the CD. But you see, my brother and sister, when we come together as a body, and when we begin to acknowledge the Lord, when we begin, as we talked about before, to discern even the body of Christ, it blesses the Lord. You see, when you praise God, it blesses him. When you cry out in prayer, it blesses him. Even when you come into Him in your brokenness and you have to confess some sin before Him, don't you know it blesses God that you can trust Him with an open heart? You can say, God, I don't have anything to hide from You. You can say, God, I'm not going to try to impress You. I'm going to simply come to You and love You. God, I'm going to bless You and nothing is going to stand in my way. You see, He said, I'm going to receive the grace of God tonight. Somehow or another, I am going to bring joy to the heart of God. Somehow or another, I'm going to bring a smile to His face. You see, my praise matters. My worship matters. How I choose to bless the Lord matters. That I choose to bless the Lord matters. My brother and sister, hear me tonight. Your praise rings throughout the very heavens. In the presence of all of the holy angels. The praise that you bring forth to God. The prayers that you bring forth to God. The desire that you have to love Him and to know Him. All of the inclination of your heart toward Him. Every time you open up your scripture to get to know Him that much more. Every time this happens, there are reverberations in the heavenlies. Your praise matters to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, I will bless the Lord. This is something that He chose to do. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, He said. What a wonderful privilege. He speaks to his soul. He says, my very existence. He says, the very heart of me. He said, you know what I'm going to do tonight? He might have been at a church like this. Let's just say, for instance. And he said, I tell you what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to put all of my eggs in one basket. You see, I'm going to bless the Lord with the very depths of who I am. I'm going to bless the Lord to the center of my being. He probably said along with Esther, and if I perish, I perish. I know I've had a hard week. I know it's been difficult. I put in 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 hours. I know it's been rough, but I am going to do it tonight. I'm putting all of my eggs in one basket. I'm laying it all upon the table. I will be poured out like a drink offering. And if I perish, I perish. Ain't nothing wrong with dying in the house of God. Hallelujah. That's what we're supposed to be doing on a regular basis. Dying daily along with the Apostle Paul. Sometimes it takes a little bit to give God His praise. Sometimes it takes a little bit to give God His worship. Sometimes the week has been difficult. Sometimes it's been hard. Sometimes you've been working all week and you've been volunteering at the church in your off time and you've been pouring everything you have into it. And yet God will say one more time, give me my praise. The Bible says at a certain point that Jesus gives a parable of a man who's working in the field all day long and he's sweating and his brow is drenched and he comes into the house at the end of a long work day. And the Bible says that Jesus asks the question, do you think that at this time the man is just going to sit down and be served? Sometimes at the end of a long week we come to church and we say, ah, now it's time for me to get served. You know what God says? I don't think so. He said in the King James vernacular, I trow not. He said, no, no, no. What this man is going to do is he's going to get up and he's going to serve his master. He's going to give his God his praise. He's going to say, yes, God, I know I need to be filled. I know I need to be strengthened. I know I need to be encouraged. But this is your time, and I'm going to give you your praise. I'm going to give you your due. I'm going to cry out and acknowledge that my God is worthy to be praised. He had to admonish his own soul. And he had to say, soul, I know you're tired. You know, sometimes the word soul, sometimes it means a certain part of the human being, but sometimes it means the entire self. The word nefesh can sometimes mean the entire self, body and soul. Sometimes it's all inclusive. Sometimes you got to say, sometimes I'm tired psychologically. Sometimes I'm tired physically. I don't know how long, but the man was 80 some odd years old. You know, he had to climb up that mountain. And then when the name of God began to pass before him, I don't think that he took out his fan saying, oh, that's nice. I'll get the CD. No, no, something happened, my brother and my sister, when the glory of God
began to pass before him, he understood that it was time to snap to attention and to give God his praise and to give God his worship. Now that's an act of grace. That ain't no act of caffeine. I don't care how many cups of coffee you drink. Only God's people can bless his holy name. Only God's people can praise him. Only God's people can touch his heart with praise. And so sometimes we say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Sometimes we got to jostle our own soul a little bit. You know, sometimes you got to shake, you know, take yourself by the proverbial lapels and say, it is time to praise the Lord. It's time to bless him. It's time to honor him. It's time to give him his due. You know why, brothers and sisters? Because he's worthy. Hallelujah. He's worthy of all the praise and adoration. When that glory began to pass before Moses, here he is. I just want to give you an idea of his set of circumstances. Moses didn't write this particular psalm, at least I don't think so, but I'm just making this parallel. Here he is. He's in the cleft of the rock. You know, he's in a place where nothing can touch him. Nothing can harm him. He is hidden in Christ Jesus. You see, we look forward, they look forward to the sacrifice, we look back to the sacrifice, but there's still only one sacrifice that saves. And he, looking forward to this glorious Jesus, was ensconced in his protection. Nothing could stop him from offering his praise. You know why I know he prays? Because the Bible says after he gets this wonderful vision that he fell on his face and began to worship. And the Bible said that there was a glow upon his face. This man looked like a worshiper. He was a man of God. And anybody who even gave him a second glance had to look and say, oh, I know there's something about this person. An 83-year-old man at the time, I guess he was 81, 80, something like that, climbing up this mountain. My wife was saying to me, that was probably middle-aged by their standards, but I'm telling you, even if you're middle-aged, climbing up a mountain ain't easy. This man climbing up that mountain. And I'm sure he probably said to himself, now I did my share, it's time for me to sit down. But God set him in the cleft of this rock. And I think when God set him in the cleft of this rock, something began to rise in him. Even then he began to say, man, oh man, what am I doing here in this wonderful place? You know, he could have said, if he had been sitting here in this church, he could have said, man, I could be across the street in this bar, or I could be down the block in this porno shop, or I could be all down on the west side shooting drugs into my veins, or I can be over here looking at something that mocks the Lord, or something that curses a God in this theater or in that theater. What am I doing here? What am I doing in the house of God? Maybe I'm the only one, my brother and sister, but there was a time or two in my life, I grew up in this city, and there was a Friday night or two when I wasn't in the house of God. What am I doing here? He found himself in the cleft of the rock, and I think something began to rise in him. What am I doing here? God has brought me into his presence. And all of a sudden, the wind begins to blow, this cool and sweet wind of the presence of God. But right before it begins to happen, God covers him with his own hand. The hand of God came upon this man. And he probably said to himself, as the praise just begins to rise higher and higher, who am I that the hand of God should be upon my life? Who am I that God should be concerned to me? We sing that song, who am I that you are mindful of me? You know, the writer, you know, the psalmist and also the writer to the Hebrews, you know, said that same thing. What is mankind or the son of man that you even concern yourself with him? You've made him a little lower than the angel. But then he said, you crowned him with glory and honor, set him above the works of your hands. But when we look at our life, we don't see any of that, but we see Jesus. We see what you created us for, but we look at our life and we see that we failed in so many ways, but we look to him. We see Jesus and we see perfection, who was also made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that he, by his own grace, by the grace of God, might suffer death for all of us. What a wonderful Jesus who puts his nail-scarred hands upon you tonight. He said, soul, I know you're tired. Soul, I know you're struggling, but we're going to bless the Lord anyway.
Yeah, I know that the going gets rough sometimes. Sometimes you let yourself down. Sometimes you're let down by the community. But we're going to bless God anyway. You know, when I wake up in the morning, I don't have a day planner. I don't know what in the world is going to happen from one minute to the next. I probably should get one. But I have a wife, and it's the same. No, I'm kidding. I do know one thing. I am going to bless the Lord. You see, if you were to look at my day planner, that would be the one thing that seems, you know how sometimes you have these watermarks, you know what I mean? That pretty much, you know, you can have that thing covering the entire page and you can still write whatever else you're going to write. Every Christian's day planner should have that. Bless the Lord. Whatever else I do, whatever else the circumstance, whatever else, the ups, the downs, the ins, the outs, one thing is certain, I'm going to bless the Lord. Why? Because He has hidden me in the cleft of the rock. Because He has laid His hand upon me. Christian, do you know you have the hand of God upon you? Doesn't matter to me what Fox News Network says. It doesn't matter to me what CNN says. I'm not extraordinarily concerned, my dear brothers, of what the New York Times says or the Daily News has to say. I'm not overly concerned with the reports of our society, because I know this one thing, that God has His hand upon me. And God has His hand upon you. And as He began to stand in the cleft of that rock, and as God laid His hand upon him, I think the praise just began to rise up a little bit more and a little bit more. And now the Bible says that God began to allow all of His glory to pass before this man. You know what it might be like? It might be like God beginning to open this book before us and begin to tell us His testimony. You want to have a serious testimony time? Let God tell you His testimony. Let God begin to testify about His experiences with humankind. Let God begin to talk to you about His experiences with Adam and with Seth. Let God begin to talk to you about His times with Enoch and with Methuselah. Let God talk to you about His times with Noah and with Abraham. Let God talk to you about His times with Jacob and with Isaac and with Joseph. Let God talk to you and to me about His times with the judges. Let God talk to you and me about His times with Samuel. Let God talk to you and to me about His times with the kings, with David and with Solomon and with people like Asa and Jehoshaphat and many others, Hezekiah, Josiah and others. Let God begin to talk to you and to me about the times when He whispered into the ears of Isaiah and Jeremiah and the ears of Ezekiel and Daniel. Let God talk to you and to me about the times when He began to prophesy about the coming of the Christ through the prophet John. Let God begin to talk to you and to me about the time when He cracked open eternity and said, sent His glorious Son so that men and women might know how to believe on the name of the Lord and how men and women might be saved through His sacrifice. Let Him talk to you and to me about how He called certain fishers from one place and from another, tax collectors from this place and from another. Let Him talk to you and to me about how He met them in a certain room on a certain day and caused His Holy Spirit to fall upon them so that they all began to speak with other tongues. Let Him talk to you and to me about a man named Saul of Tarsus, who was about to try and destroy the work of God, and how God met him and knocked him off of his high horse and caused him to call upon the name of the Lord. God showed him a glory that outshone the noonday sun. Let God talk to you and to me about a man named Barnabas, about a man named Silas, about a man named Timotheus. Let God talk to you and to me about the men and women of God, about Mary and Martha. Let Him talk to you and to me about all of the people throughout all of the generations, about all of those men and women who stood where we stand, and let Him say to you, this is my testimony. Am I worthy of praise or not? We serve a holy God. We serve a mighty God. He can talk to us. He can give us His testimony. It might take a while. It won't be one of those 3-minute testimonies that we try to do every now and again. Hello, my name is Fred, and
I'm not used to doing this, so no. In the beginning, God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, what a glorious God. I could see that the praise began to rise up in that place. And then he begins to pronounce his name. He said, Moses, you ain't seen nothing yet. He said, I know you met me at Mount Sinai and you saw the fiery bush. And I know that you saw great signs and wonders in Egypt. I know that you saw God take a people from a place of slavery to a place of liberty. I know you've seen all these wonderful things. But Moses, you ain't seen nothing yet. And he begins to pass before him. And he begins to say, I want you to get to know me. For who I am. I'm going to tell you some things about me. I'm going to make sure you understand who your God is so that no devil can ever lie to you and tell you God is not with you. So that no devil can ever lie to you and tell you God doesn't love you. So that no devil can ever lie to you and tell you God has given up on you. God is tired of you. No. He said, I am. I am God. And he begins to say that the God that you love is merciful. And gracious. Hallelujah. Long suffering. He can put up with you a whole lot longer than you can. Long suffering and abundant in goodness and mercy. In other words, he's saying, when it comes down to the mercy that you need, the truth that you need, the goodness that you need, I have enough. When it comes down to the love that you need, the fatherhood that you need, the embrace that you need, I have enough. He said, Moses, I want to tell you something. I will never get tired of you. I want to tell you something. I will never stop loving you. I want to tell you something. I will take you by your hand and lead you through every single day of your life, through every single battle of your life. The psalmist was able to say the same psalmist, if I'm not mistaken. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God is with me. And when the Bible talks about Jesus Christ, the Bible says that his name shall be called Emmanuel. With us is God. God is with us. You let me go through any struggle in life. The only thing I need to know is God is with me. Let me go through any kind of difficulty, any kind of hardship. All I need to know is that God will not leave me. Now, when you think about the lie that the enemy tries to throw at you, I don't care how he tries to cover it. I don't care how he tries to coat it. I don't care how he tries to disguise it. The bottom line is this. God has left you. God is not with you anymore. That's the lie. But the truth became apparent to this man, Moses. When God said, I am God. He began to pass before him. And he began to say, don't you understand? Nothing can rob you of your praise. Nothing can rob you of the wonderful privilege of blessing the Lord at all times, as the Bible says. Nothing can rob you of having his praise continually in your mouth unless you believe that God doesn't want to hear it. Unless you think God is sick and tired of you up one day and down the next. If you think that God is offended by your praise, then you stop praising. It's not because you're physically tired or psychologically tired, but you might be tired of the battle. You might be tired of the struggle. And you might be saying that God is tired too, because you might be believing a lie of the devil. You never stop praising God until you think he doesn't want to hear it anymore. As long as you believe, it brings joy to his heart. Whenever you come into the room and you begin to lift up your hands to him. If you have anybody in this room, anybody have children? My little girl, all she has to do is smile at me. All she has to do is lift up her arms to me. And now I was who I am. I was who I am before she was born. Just like God is, I am, long before we were Christians, long before we were created. Yet when we lift up our hands to him every single time, it blesses his heart. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You see, brother and sister, you have been given a wonderful privilege from God. I want to break it down as undiluted as I can. This is the bottom line. God has made it so that you have been entrusted with his heart. You have been entrusted with his love. You can make him happy. You can bless the Lord. You can bless his soul. When God looks down on this community, sometimes I think he sees what's going on in the world at large, and it breaks his heart. He sees the people who are dying, killing each other, killing themselves, and it breaks his heart. And every now and again, you come into your prayer closet and you just sing your song. And you might not even be on key, as it were. But you come into your prayer closet and you sing your song. Do you know that he turns his heart away from all of the struggle, and he turns it and he inclines it to you? You are the apple of his eye. And somehow as you praise him, there's a sweet savor that just placates his heart and brings him joy. And maybe he looks on that community again and he says, well, you know what? Brother so-and-so is praying for you right now. Well, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so is singing sweet songs to me right now. And so I'm going to extend my patience to you. And I may even use this person who's praying to me. I may use that person to go into your community, into your world, and they might be useful in the hands of God to save your soul. You see, brother and sister, tonight, for instance, you have the privilege of bringing a smile to the heart of God, even though he's got to look down on a Friday night in New York City. You as a Christian person have been given the wonderful privilege of blessing the Lord. It is the epitome of grace. It is the highest grace afforded to any person. God is gracious even to the unsaved on certain levels. He puts food in their bellies. He puts roofs over their head and so on and so forth. And then God is gracious on a special level to the Christian persons. He makes us to understand his truths and teaches us certain principles. But I believe that there are certain people who have decided that they want to bless the Lord. They don't just want life principles so that they can stay off drugs and so that they can no longer, you know, be violent in their homes. And yeah, that's all wonderful things, but they want more. They want to bring a smile to the heart of God. They want to bless the Lord. They want to say, God, I know what you see on these streets. And I know how it grieves your heart. Can I do anything to help? Can I bless you tonight, oh God? Can I bring a smile to your face? Can I sing a song to you, oh Jesus? Can I write you a poem? Can I draw you a picture? Can I bless you, Lord? Can I reach out to someone? Can I make a difference in somebody else's life? Can I bless you, Lord? Is there something that I can do? Can I simply pray and believe you? Maybe I can bring to you a confession and say, God, I'm not hiding from you anymore. Can I show you trust on that level so that it might bless your heart? God, is there something that I can do tonight? With all the things that are going on in New York City and around the world, can I bless you tonight? You see, what this man did was he basically had a conversation with his own heart. The first thing he had to acknowledge was, I have been given the privilege to bless the Lord. See, if you don't believe you have that privilege, then you can't do the next thing, which is to say, since I've been given that privilege, I choose to bless the Lord. Two things we have to be absolutely convinced of. One, I have been given the privilege to bless the Lord. And two, that privilege has not been taken away from me. Yes, I have had some difficulties. Yes, I have had to look into my own heart. And yes, I've had to see some anger. And yes, I took the commandments and I dashed them to the ground. And yes, the people round about me were engaging in the worship of this particular calf. And yes, the Moabites were coming in with their folly. And yes, yeah, everything that happened. Yes, I understand all that, but I refuse to believe the lie of the devil. God is calling me to the top of this mountain and I will follow. So he begins to go to that mountain and he begins to see this wonderful thing that God has for him. There is still a place for him, you see, in the cleft of the rock. And God still has his hand upon him. And God still allows his glory to pass before him.
And God is still proclaiming his name to him. And the Bible says when he saw all of this, he fell on his face and worshiped. When he saw all of this, he said, well, then if all that's the case, if I am still hidden in the cleft of the rock, if the hand of God is still upon me, if God is still causing his glory to pass before me, if God is still proclaiming his name to me, then I still have the wonderful privilege and the great responsibility of blessing the Lord. Brother and sister Christian, God needs you tonight. He doesn't need you or me to be God. He is God all by himself. But he has chosen to love us. And when somebody loves you, they need you. He loves you. Your praise matters. Are you a poet? Do you like to write poems? Well, write God a verse tonight. Are you an artist? Do you like to draw? Well, draw him a picture tonight. Are you a singer? Do you like to sing? Sing him a song tonight. Are you a person of prayer? Then lift up a prayer to him. Are you struggling with a sin? Confess to him and repent. Brother and sister, you can bless God to no end tonight. The thing that you and I have to do, though, is simply say to our soul, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. When that holy name began to pass before Moses, Moses knew what his job was. He knew what it was for him to do. Sometimes you ask yourself the question, I ask myself the question, but what's going to happen tomorrow? I'm here at church and I'm happy, but what's going to happen tomorrow? Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. You don't have to have a bunch of things in your day planner. Just have this. I'm going to bless the Lord. When the glory of God begins to pass before you, believe me, you will know what to do. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Would you stand with me tonight, my dear brothers and sisters? And we're going to pray. Hallelujah. We're going to pray, and here's what we're going to say. God, would you cause your glory to pass before me? Remind me that I have a place in you. And remind me that I have a privilege in you. Remind me that I have a responsibility in you. God, tonight, I'm not going to come to you and say, would you do this for me and do that for me, although I need you every single day. I'm not even going to come to you and ask you, would you help me to reach the lost, although I want to reach the lost every day, all day. I'm going to do something particular tonight. I'm simply going to say, God, I simply want to bless you. God, I want to kiss you. I want to embrace you. I want to cause you to smile. I know what you're seeing on the outside of these doors. I know the pain of your heart. Can I, on some level or another, can I relieve that pain? God, can I just love you tonight? Can I be of service to you tonight? Can I bless you? If God is moving on your heart and you simply want to join us here at the front of this auditorium and simply lift up your hands to him, simply lift up your heart to him, simply lift up your eyes to him and simply say, God, I love you tonight. I want to bless you tonight. It is the highest expression of grace to bless the Lord with everything that is in you. To honor him, love him, love him. Give him his due, give him his praise. If God is moving on your heart, come tonight. He needs you. He needs your embrace. He simply wants to love you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to spend the next few minutes just singing songs to Jesus, and we're going to close out that way. But I want to give a word of encouragement. The Lord spoke to my heart, and there's somebody here who is saying, I have to come against right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, a lie that says God is tired of my praise, or that God is unconscious of my praise. He doesn't even know that I exist, as it were. There is a lie that the enemy is trying to spread, and basically what it says is your praise doesn't matter. But I want to suggest to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that your praise matters an entire eternity to God. Hallelujah. Everything that you are matters to him. You say, how do I know? We know because of what he did for us on Calvary. Because he gave his only begotten son so that we can do exactly what we're doing tonight. Blessing his holy name. Now, brother and sister, we're going to close in a couple of songs tonight at this altar in this congregation. I simply want you to love on Jesus. Love him, worship him, honor him, give him his due, bless him. He is your God, he is your Father, and he loves you with an eternal love. Brother and sister, let's bless him, let's praise him, let's honor him. Jesus, we love you, we praise you, we honor you, oh God. Hallelujah. Sing your songs to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is the conclusion of the message.